A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hanson. You may know me from the 2018 series of Love Island.
Since before Love Island, I've always had a passion for women's rights and interests. So I'm here to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to putting yourself first, whether that be in a relationship, in the bedroom, your career, or your mental health. I've called in friends from around the world for an intimate, unfiltered conversation that will change your life forever. The reason I started this podcast is because since I've used my platform to speak so openly, I've had so many of you contact me on social media and even stop me in the street asking me to do a podcast. So now we really can get down and dirty and discuss the most important things that just aren't talked about enough. Expect lots of laughter, a few tears, and for the penny to finally drop as we discuss the most taboo and private topics, helping you focus on the fact that you come first. So today I'm super excited to be talking to Adjoa Aboa, supermodel activist and founder of Girls Talk, an amazing community-led non-profit dedicated to promoting the mental health and well-being of adolescent girls and young women. Thank you so much for coming on today. I've been such a big fan of yours, and I think the first time we met I was like so starstruck. I got my manager to come over and be like, oh my god, can you get a selfie? But I don't want to ask.
was it at the Rimmel? No, sorry, Revlon. It was at the Revlon thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, at the makeup event. And you look stunning. Exactly. You had your blonde hair, your pink dress. I've still got the picture now. I look absolutely awful in it, but I'm like, I have to keep it for memories.
No, that's so funny, because I was so starstruck, because obviously Love Island had been going on. I'd been like watching it religiously, and it was just kind of, yeah, I was such a fangirl as well. So it's funny that you were nervous and then I was nervous at the same time.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that you watched Love Island. I was like, oh my god, I've made it.
I haven't watched it since either.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was the best series.
It really was. I mean, some people said that this series is quite interesting.
I've watched a few bits.
I haven't really given it a go, to be quite honest.
So, and then you had me on a Girls Talk event, which I was like super flattered about, so nervous. I think that was my first time after the villa, like publicly speaking. I'd never publicly spoke before. And it was such a great like atmosphere. Everyone was so friendly. So that was really nice. How did Girls Talk come about?
I mean, it was kind of a thought process, to be quite honest. By that, I mean, it was something that I'd been thinking about for some time. I'd been helped quite a lot during like the year of like 2014, and I'd been in and out of treatment, and I'd like sought help and started putting the work in, I suppose, to like kind of piece together my life and start becoming a happier like person. And I think I just had these sudden realizations that I didn't really understand why you had to like reach such rock bottoms before you were given help. I thought it was interesting that I'd been given the rooms of NA and AA, and I was able to kind of seek like-minded people and a community that really understood. But I thought, how interesting that people who don't necessarily need to be in those rooms haven't got those kind of communities and those circles of people, and that space that's really confidential and safe and a place where you really feel that you can share what's going on in your life openly and have people who share back and hear stories that you can really relate to. So I really just stole the kind of the format from those rooms and from the kind of the treatment rooms and the groups of people that I'd met along the way, like during 2014. And then I started it when I moved to LA. I kind of started working at different charities. So I learned what I loved about them. I thought about what I wanted to change and what I think was missing from like charities and charities that are, you know, about women and mental health. But I really, to be quite honest, I started something that I really needed. It's really simple. I just know that my journey would have been any different. Maybe not. Maybe it was always meant to be that way. But I do think I would have really benefited from a space in which I could really like share what was going on in my life. So now, like 5 years later or whatever it is, I have created something that I always dreamt of it being. It's community led. It's safe, it's confidential. We're bridging the gap between education and storytelling, which I don't tend to see very often. And it started off with something, you know, it started off with me sharing my story, but has beautifully led on to something that's really led by the community and what they wanna, you know, it's, we listen to what they wanna talk about, what they wanna hear, the stories that they want to tell, the subjects that they want to kind of deconstruct.
Yeah, it's so true when you say there's not really anything out there other than Girls Talk, unless you do hit like absolute rock bottom, and then there's like the AA and stuff. And I think almost if you're like virgin, or you know, I don't know, you're using like drink as like a crutch a little bit too much, there's nothing really there other than like AA and stuff. So yeah, I think I read that on your Girls Talk website. There's nothing really to help you if you're like starting to go on a downward spiral, whereas Girls Talk is there now for people to share their stories and hear and relate to other people. And I think that's the most healthy thing, to just be open with it. For years, mental health has been like taboo and like very like not spoken about, so it's great.
Exactly. And I think, you know, they don't always start off as big problems, do they? You know, it can be losing your virginity, it can be insecurities, it can be having not lost your virginity, not feeling attractive, school pressure, parental pressure, sexual pressure, drug pressure. I mean, there's a list of things that you go through when you're growing up. And I think there needs to be support outside, not only in the school system, but also outside the school system. I don't think the pastoral care in schools is good enough. I don't think I was really supported. I don't think I was really listened to be quite honest. And I think those things that seemed very trivial and small at the beginning very quickly led on to become bigger things that I wasn't able to kind of deal with. And by that time, I already had so many like learnt coping mechanisms and boundaries that shut me off from even dealing with them. I didn't have the language to even describe how I was feeling. I had no understanding of what anxiety or depression even was. Yeah. I didn't know how to talk about any of that stuff because no one had ever told me it was fine to talk about it.
No. And it's almost like for years and years, I think it's slowly starting to change now with platforms like Girls Talk, but it's almost seen as like a weakness, I think, if you did say like, oh, I have a bit of anxiety or I'm feeling a bit insecure today. And I think you're completely right. Like when I went to school, there was nothing. You're learning about right angles of a triangle and things that are completely useless, but you're not learning how to deal with everyday situations and just growing up in society. So it's so, so needed. And I think I read in like one of your other interviews that you started Girls Talk by just your Instagram and like sharing your story and hearing other people's stories back.
Yeah, I don't even know what the Instagram was about. I don't even know how it like kind of caught on. I didn't have as big a platform as I have now, but I'd taken a break from like social media because you weren't allowed it in treatment and everything like that. So I'd taken a step back. It seemed very like weird at that point in my life to be putting out imagery of me when I had no idea who I was. Do you know what I mean? It felt quite performative, me like kind of pretending to be happy when I wasn't. So I took a step back, and then I started the Girls Talk Instagram, which was really like a mixture of my Instagram and also the Girls Talk Instagram. But yeah, it just, I don't even know how it took off, to be quite honest. It just did. I think it was needed, maybe.
So needed. Did you ever find it like difficult hearing people's stories? Like, obviously I've spoken out about like different things, whether that's working in the sex industry or mental health myself that I've suffered with. And it's lovely to hear people's stories, and I try and help where I can. But for you, on such a vast platform and with so many girls must be writing into you on a daily basis, do you ever find it's kind of, although it's really rewarding, it's kind of hard? Do you have to get a therapist on the side? Because I heard that people say that, like, therapists need a therapist. How do you deal with all these like hard, really emotional stories?
Well, I think firstly, we have a really great clinical online psychologist called Dr. Kira Dockery, who works with Girls Talk. So, you know, she's really able to give us that actual support, you know, that kind of factual support. You know, she's studied it for such a long time. You know, there are things that I'm still learning. And so it's really important that we have someone like that who can really kind of give us the right stats and the facts and really kind of help us help the community in a reliable and kind of safe way. But in terms of when like the community come to me with stories, especially when we were doing our events before the pandemic and even on the podcast speaking to a variety of different people, I try my best. I don't necessarily have the advice. I don't necessarily have always the right things to say. You know, I've had over the years, girls have come up to me and told me what Girls Talk has meant to them and how it's helped them through their teenage years and their adult years and what the support has meant. And I think it not only pushes me, but I always feel like less alone. Do you know what I mean? It helps me as much as I hope it helps them. You know, I think sometimes it's not a burden in the sense like it's overwhelming, but the responsibility can sometimes feel slightly overwhelming in the sense that it's sad to think that these things are still so like prevalent in like young girls and adult girls like lives. I think we've definitely moved like in an amazing direction, especially since when I was back at school. But it is hard hearing stories like that. I think it's when you've been through it, when you know like the darkness and what it feels like to be at such like points of rock bottom, it's always like you would never wish that on even your worst enemy. So it's always quite like heartbreaking to hear that anyone's going through such immense amounts of like sadness and that they're dealing with quite like traumatic things in their life. But I whether I understand or not, I just meet whoever it is on a like emotional level, on a level of like emotional maturity. And when I say that, I mean like I understand emotions, whether it be happiness, sadness, anger, grief, all the things that a human has to kind of feel. So I try and meet it on that kind of level. I can't say that I've ever been through that, but I can get on your level and I can listen and I can learn.
And I feel like sometimes you don't even need to have the answers or experience exactly the same experience. It's just sharing and being so vulnerable. Exactly. It must have been really daunting for you to be so honest and open about like your own mental health struggles. Like, was it something that you felt was kind of therapeutic for you just to vent on like your Instagram, how like Girls Talk started and stuff?
Yeah, I think I didn't really know what I was doing, to be quite honest. I didn't even really realize what it meant to share your story, which in hindsight, maybe I should have like looked into it a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? I do think we do a lot of work on Girls Talk about like thinking about what it actually means to share your story, whether it be publicly or in a smaller setting or with your closest friend. You know, it's a big deal to have it out there. It's vulnerable, and I think you really need to be ready. And maybe I was in some ways, or maybe it pushed me to start sorting it out in a different way. I think being open was a really big step for me, because I'd been such a liar for so long. I'd been always like putting up a facade and kind of pretending I was okay. So I think to get it out in the open was really like cathartic for me. Yeah. I mean, sometimes in regards to like addiction, sometimes it's not a regret talking about it, but I think you adapt and you change. No, not adapt. You change as a person, and you look at situations in a different way and through a different lens, because you've grown up, you know yourself better. You've been through different things that have shaped you in a different way. So sometimes I'm like, I don't really feel like that anymore. And I don't really look at that situation like that. So I pick and choose who I talk about it with, because I don't want it to always feel like the same thing. I have like a different outlook on life, and I have a different outlook on like that story that I told all those years ago. I pieced it together in a new way because of like therapy or talking about it with different people, you know? So I don't want to be thrown in a box. I don't want it to always be about that. And I also think now, and I'm sure you've got that, that everyone knows that it's like cool to care. So, you know, they tap into that. They tap into mental health, inclusion, sexuality, gender. And what, you know, have they even, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want my story to be like performative, and I don't want Girls Talk to be something that you use to benefit yourself.
Yeah, because I think that's a big misconception. People obviously see you on like campaigns and like smashing it in the modeling world and think that Girls Talk is like something you've done after that. But this was all before modeling, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I'm not, no kind of shade on anyone who's like kind of done it afterwards, but like I've always fucked with mental health, do you know what I mean? That's like my flex, that's what I'm about.
I love that. And your brutal honesty and just being so transparent and open has helped so many people. And it's even helped me, because like I remember when I met you at that event, I was going through shit with my family and my brother was really suffering like mental health, and it's like incredible to see someone who's like smashing it in the modeling industry and you're this well-known face like globally. And it's like, you're a real person too. And I think that's what people need, to be able to like vent, rather than, like you said, the facade of being one person on Instagram or being one person to your colleagues at work and then coming home and having all these underlying issues. It's so good to just be open. Do you still have like regular therapy and stuff?
Yeah, I'm in a little bit of a like a limbo period right now because I'm trying to find a new therapist. I think I've like outgrown him. And her, I have two different ones because I've like, because of when I lived in the States and then when I lived here. And now I'm back here and I'm trying to figure out, I think, a new person to talk to. I think especially after like this year and a half, nearly like 2 years, where our life has been ruled by COVID and the pandemic, I've changed immensely. I think new things in my life have come to fruition that I have to like deal with. Identity, like my work life and how I'm going to kind of balance everything. So I feel like I have different things that I need to talk about now. And I think it's important to me to get someone fresh in to like help me kind of deconstruct those things. But I went back on medication. I went off medication because I just thought I could do it without it.
Yeah.
Maybe I could have, but the pandemic was like far too like stressful for me to like do it by myself. So I went back on medication, and I think for the time being, it's like really what I need to do. I thought of it as like a kind of loss, but actually if you were sick, you would take medication. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know what, yeah, I needed it. So, and I feel like way better because of it.
Oh good, I'm glad. Like I had that as well before I ever went on medication. I denied and I was like, oh should I? And so many people see it as a weakness, and it's really not. Like the way you just said just then, like if you had a headache you'd take paracetamol, like it's that simple. I don't know why there's such a stigma around it. It's mad.
I know. And it's like, you know, I was talking to my therapist about it, and I was like, you know, I've like worked so hard to kind of, you know, sort through the help and advocate for like destigmatizing like medication. And there I am kind of like umming and ahhing about it and looking at it as if I'm like weak. You know.
But we're human, we all have these things, and I've been reading a book recently called The Happiness Trap, and it is, I feel like everyone's just conditioned to be like happy needs to be the state all the time. I think we need to just normalize being neutral and having days that aren't like the best, or they're just, do you know what, they're like whatever. I think everyone's just searching to be happy, 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 and it's not realistic. If someone was happy 365 days of the year, that's kind of what, like, it's not normal. But no one ever talks about just being like neutral.
No, exactly. And just being content, you know. Someone asked me how I was out of like a scale of 1 to 10 the other day, and I was like, oh, I'm a 7 or an 8, I can't remember. And they were like, could we get that up? And I was like, nah, do you know what, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I was like, really good. They were like, oh, it was like a little bit awkward, and I was like, no, I'm really content at number 7 or 8, like, I'm fine.
Yeah, that will do
me for
today.
Good things in my life. I've got mad amounts of gratitude. But do you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to be honest. I'm feeling a little bit insecure. I've got things I need to sort out. I'm a bit overworked. I'm a bit stressed. But that's fine. That's just life, you know?
100%. I deal with it. We need to normalize being a 7 or an 8 at times.
Yeah. And even normalize being a 5. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I think all the numbers. Yeah,
I recently started like a therapy course, and I'm the worst. I used to be like it with the gym. Like, I used to hate the gym. I've started to grow and like love the gym, and I feel so good after. But like with these therapy sessions, I booked like 8 sessions, I think. I've been to 1, and she keeps emailing me. I'm like, oh. But it's one of those things. I don't know about you, but I don't look forward to therapy. But after, I'm like, oh, I feel like a weight's been lifted.
I'm completely the same. I'm always like, oh my God, I don't want him or her to ask me questions. Then I'm going to have to talk about that. And then I'm going to get upset about that. And I don't feel like talking about my shit today.
Today's for me, it's the homework.
I don't want to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then quite like it.
Do you? I haven't got as far as doing the homework. I think that's why I didn't go back after the first session. She gave me all this stuff to read and do, and I'm like, oh, I'm busy. I'm trying to run my OnlyFans and get rich over here.
No, but literally, exactly. I don't know why. Why do you need to be set homework? That's a bit boring.
I know. I felt like I was back at school, but I will. Yeah. I will. I'm going to go back. I think I'm going to book something in this week. I feel like I'm being really productive this week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do you have any like top tips that you would say how you cope with like trying to be happy but not forcing happy, and like dealing with your mental health? Like, is there like a go-to 3 things when you feel like you're kind of going on a bit of a down week that you would do to like snap out of it? I know you said like exercise is a really big part of your life now.
Yeah, yeah, exercise has been like a massive part of my life for a long time, and that is like key. Not only is it an hour of my life where I don't need to like look at my phone, but it is like I zone out. I always do. I'm like, I don't really do classes because I like to, I'm just a bit savage, do you know what I mean? I'm like OCD controlly, kind of a perfectionist and really competitive, so it's probably just best I just do it by myself because it's a bit too much for anyone else. And so, but it's an hour out of my day where I'm just like zoned in, sweaty. All I need to do is concentrate on the moves, and I feel so much better and so much more clearer headed afterwards. So that's like number one. 2 is like doing nothing, to be quite honest. Like, not isolating, which is, you need to make sure you can just, you know, kind of differentiate between the two, because I am like prone to isolating, but like doing nothing and stepping back from like people and things and like distractions is really key for me. Like, I need to like decompress, I need to have a little thought, I need to like reevaluate and kind of have a little bit of like self-reflection so I can then like move forward. And that's like anything from like binge watching TV to like spending the day by myself, reading a book, kind of getting on top of my life. To be honest, I don't feel like I hate being like I'm catching up on everything, you know, and like feeling like behind on stuff. So that's another one. And that's something I've been really working on, because I haven't always had balance. And I think balance is really, really key to my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Personal life and work life. I no longer want my life to just be work. Like I want to have fulfillment in like other aspects of my life. So I'm trying to keep that balance together, because I haven't had it for so long, and I don't necessarily regret it, because I've been able to buy a house. I've got like, you know, a successful career because of it. But I think now, moving forward, like I want all of it. I don't want all of it as in like all the kind of career stuff, but I want all of it in terms of like love, life, experiences, friendships, you know, solid friendships that I put time and effort into, all that shit I'm like dedicating some time to. And then I think third is like having that time with like my friends, you know, and family and loved ones, you know, that is so key. Because I don't need to be anything with them. I don't need to be anything with them. I can just literally like be myself. And that's like, you know, and by being myself, I mean, that could be like a 7, a 10, or a 3. Do you know what I mean? I can be like any of those things and I'm allowed to be them. So
yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's like also key.
Yeah, when you have them relationships, you can just be so open. You can be like, right, I'm on energy saving mode. I'm at a like 2 or 3. Little bit snappy mm-hmm. today, but they love mm-hmm. you anyway.
Exactly.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like I was like, I'm finding everyone intolerable at the moment. It might be because I'm quite hot and the weather's, I feel like sweaty and overwhelmed, or it might be because I'm a little bit tired, but like, that's fine. And I just find a friend who's feeling the same, and then we can like I'd be that. On the same level about that.
And although your platform is called Girls Talk, have you noticed that there's been more men joining recently, writing into you and stuff like that? Because I feel like men's mental health is something that still isn't being spoken about as much as women. I think with women, we've grown up with our sisters, our friends, and we speak about absolutely everything, and we're like talking and sometimes like perceived as like over emotional, but like men, they just bottle everything up. Do you feel like there's been more men that have been like reaching out to you?
I mean, it is a space for women, you know, and anyone who identifies as a woman, but I think I've always seen men at our events, and I think they've not only come for themselves, but I think they've come for the women in their life to have a to be educated and have a new understanding of what we go through, what it entails to be a woman. And so I think that's truly amazing. I had a man come up to me the other day who had three daughters, and he knew about Girls Talk for that reason. Do you know what I mean? I think
amazing.
That's really great and really cool. I've had people at the events who have come for to support their girlfriends or their wives or their sister, you know. So that's so beautiful that someone's willing to like get a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah, and educate themselves.
Look at their part to play in it and educate themselves. Do you know what I mean? It's so sick. It's so cool.
100%. So what's coming up next for Girls Talk? Because obviously we've had the whole pandemic and I saw you was doing like live events on YouTube and stuff. Have you got any physical events coming up? What's next?
God, I would love to have a physical event come up. We'll have to see. I think maybe end of the year we'll start like organize something. I'd love to do something in like, you know, September, October for everyone going back to school.
Yeah, because it must be hard after so long off.
Exactly. It's going to be so difficult. So I'd love to like support in any way I can on those sides of things. Now that we're a 501c3, now we're a fully fledged charity, we just launched our ambassadors program, which is just everything I ever wanted Girls Talk to be is reflected in those 16 girls. It's like the, I can't even quite believe it when I'm like sitting with them and talking to them about all the things that we're doing. We're setting them projects and they're coming back with all these amazing ideas and they have such insight into what's going on, a way bigger insight into it than I would as someone who's kind of like, you know, I'm 29 now. It's like just a little bit different. I'm not clued up on everything. And they really are. And they're so articulate and they have the most wide, they have such a wide range of language to really truly express themselves, and they have so much insight and empathy, and they're not narrow-minded. They're continuously looking outside of their own like kind of worlds to like what's going on in other people's worlds. So it's like being truly the most amazing thing to be like have done that. So that's really what we're working on a lot at the moment, just with the ambassadors. Working on the podcast, continue to work with Nike, and now that I've just become the face of Rimmel, we'll be doing a lot of stuff with them in the future.
It's amazing.
Just
absolutely
keep on doing the work, you know. I love it. Just keep on doing
it. I love the podcast. I was listening to the one with Elsa. She absolutely cracks me up.
I know. She's so sick, man. She literally had me in stitches. You know what? I think the podcast has like come leaps and bounds, you know, since before the pandemic, because we now are able to kind of pick and choose people from all different places and have them on Zoom. You realize you don't necessarily have to be in person to do this. I mean, it's so nice. I found it really hard at the beginning, but actually, you know, it's easy for me and you because we know each other. But actually, I've had some really great ones where I'm like, it doesn't even matter that we're not in the same room.
Yeah, from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, exactly.
So you said you're like the new face of Rimmel. I always see you on like the adverts and stuff. Did you always want to get into modelling? How did that come about? And what age was you when you started modelling?
God, I was quite young, actually. I mean, my mum was really strict, so I couldn't do it properly till I was 18. So I like did bits before that, but not really. I wasn't like, I wouldn't have called myself a model and I wouldn't have looked at it as modelling. But, you know, someone would ask me to be in something and it was all exciting. But my mum was really strict. So I started like on and off from 18, but it didn't really go well. And the industry was a very different place and beauty was looked at in such a different way. And in a way I didn't really feel that I necessarily fit into. So it took a while, do you know what I mean? I think people don't realize that I have been modeling quite a long time, you know? And then I took some time away and I did like other jobs. I went to university, finished my degree, worked as a nanny, did all sorts of things, and then like took some time away to like sort my shit out, and then it kind of went from there, to be quite honest. And it kind of blew up, and then for the last kind of since like 2000 and like 2016, you know, I've just been like, actually like probably 2016, 2017, I've just been like working back to back since then.
Yeah, absolutely smashing it. Like when I was doing, I always like to research people, and I was looking at like you on the catwalk, I was like, oh my God, you look incredible. Aww. And you've done so many covers. That cover with Marcus Ratchford was amazing.
Yeah, he's insane. Oh, aren't we so proud to even be like, for him to be such a representative of our like kind of country, you know, it's insane. I think I started modeling because I've always been obsessed with like independence, you know, financial independence, just independence in general. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I don't know if I necessarily had thought about it enough. In hindsight, it's not as easy as just like becoming a model. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so, but you know, I'm glad I gave it a go, and it wasn't like an easy journey, and it took its time, but got there in the end.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine it must be so hard, like when you're first getting into it, because your mum's in fashion, isn't she? Exactly. What did your parents think about you getting into modelling? Were they supportive, or were they a bit worried? Because it just seems brutal. Like, I know it seems glamorous to me when I'm watching you on the catwalks and on like these big campaigns on TV, but it must be like draining sometimes when you go to castings and perhaps don't get mm-hmm. it. And I don't know, is there like a sense of like competitiveness amongst models, or not really anymore? Is that kind of like,
oh no, 90s? I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's like, we're all probably competitive with each other in different ways though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's a really strange world. I'm not quite sure, because my modeling career is like a little bit different now. Do you know what I mean? I think I am working with brands in a different capacity, because I'm kind of merging both my like kind of worlds together, which is like Girls Talk and fashion. So I kind of feel like I have a different position in it. But maybe before, probably, I don't know if I was necessarily competitive. I think it's just feels like sometimes quite a toxic environment. Do you know what I mean? Just the fashion industry in general. But I'm not quite sure. I think if you were like just pure fashion, I'm sure, you know, because there's always someone coming up behind you.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I feel like for me, I just wanted to ask that question, because for me with like Love Island, there's always like a new season of Love Island.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was hard at first when I first come out not to compare myself to like other contestants and like snoop on their Insta and be like, oh, what are they doing? Why am I not doing that? So yeah, I guess it's like everyone in their jobs, there's like an element of that.
Of course. Like I there is no way I would be lying if I didn't say that I compared myself to other models and what they were doing. Do you know what I mean? For sure. And that's something that like, I think whatever industry, like you said, we're all like dealing and battling with. Especially as women, do you know what I mean? We're like, all we do is that, it's exhausting. I've been working on it a lot actually at the moment, just because it's just exhausting to be that mean to yourself and to compare yourself to other people that have such a different journey to you, you know?
Mm.
And
100%.
Yeah, so toxic.
So what would you say, have you got like a favorite job or like a standout thing that happened in your like modeling career that was like, oh my God?
I think my cover with Tim Walker, for like my first cover that I ever got, which was for Italian Vogue, was a really like pivotal moment in my career. Not only was it because it was my first like major cover, but it also came at a time in my life where I really felt like happy, like being myself. So to see that image on that magazine taken by someone I truly trust and who I think really knows me, it was such an amazing moment to look at that and be like, oh good, like I look good, there's light in my eyes, I look happy.
Yeah, and you know, like in your heart you feel good and in a happy place.
Exactly. And both those are the same, do you know what I mean? So I think like, not only because it was like my big break, but also because like it came at a point in my life where I was really kind of like changing and growing up and sorting my stuff out. Mm.
Do you ever get nervous, like, when you go on to, like, sets to shoot, or, like, when you do, like, the rump, like, I said, there's this video, and I don't know, like, I should have read which one it was, but you're just, you look, like, not even human, like, you look so stunning, and, like, beautiful, and, like, so calm. I'm like, if that was me, have you seen The Real Housewives of New York, Ramona?
No, no, I've never seen New York. When she does the catwalk.
I have to send you a video after, and I just think Ramona, everyone laughs at her. She's got these crazy eyes where she's trying to focus on, like, tripping. And I'm like, that would so be me. But you just look so effortless and gorgeous. Like,
thanks,
do you ever
babe.
Get nervous?
Oh yeah, for sure I get nervous, but I have been doing it a while now. So, like, for me, the catwalk is just such an amazing adrenaline rush. I'm like, literally, like, almost like become someone else. You know, it's like you only get to, like, walk up and then down again. So it's just your moment, and you've got to, like, make it, like, count. And then for shoots and stuff like that, of course, like, there are moments, like, I get nervous. Maybe I don't know the crew, and maybe I've never worked with a photographer. Maybe, like, I'm feeling a little bit, like, insecure. All different things. But, like, I've done it a long time now. So I kind of, like, there are parts that I love and there are parts that I hate, but, like, I feel pretty, like, secure in, like, my understanding of what it entails and what I have to do to, like, get the job done, you know?
Mm.
Like, I could never do, like, OnlyFans, do you know what I mean? I would never be able to do that.
You so
No
could.
Way!
You're
I literally so... I'm also not as sexy as you. It would be, like, me in, like my matching pajamas. Like, catch...
No.
In my headscarf.
Stop.
Like, it would be so unsexy.
Trust me, there's no skill to this whatsoever. I just, like, whack an ass cheek out, whack a tit out, and hope for the best, really.
Oh, God, that's so good. I quite like to go on OnlyFans and just have a little look.
Oh, my God, yeah, I've been so tempted, but obviously, like, my username's mine. I think, oh, my God, imagine if someone, like, leaked it to the press. Megan's just signing up to all kinds of, like, OnlyFans accounts. But I really want, I might make a fake one just to be nosy and see what's going on.
Okay, so you'd have to, so they might see my name. Oh, no, I can make a fake
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you're going to, yeah.
Sparkle Princess 123. Rainbow Fairy 58.
Oh, look out for that one if I get a subscription.
Exactly, you're like, oh God, so this is weird.
Would you have any advice to girls just starting out in the modeling industry?
I would just, like, go for it. Do you know what I mean? It's, I would go for it, but I would, like, get your head in the game. And when I say that, I mean, it's not just easy. You don't just, like, become a model. And that's not to, like, kind of, I'm not doing that to be negative and to, like, kind of push you away from, like, going for that.
Mm.
But I would just be like, I'd clue yourself up on what it, like, on what it actually entails and what,
mm-hmm,
you're going to go through mentally and physically, and it'll be amazing. But there's, like, fuck loads of rejection. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would, like, get yourself in the head, you know, get your, like, head in the game.
Yeah, you've got to be super strong by the
sounds. You know, it's the, like, don't be naive about it. Go forth, conquer, put all your effort in. I'd always say, like, do something else as well. I think it's really important, especially now, like, you've got to have something to say. And I think having other things in your life will always, I think it gives you, like, longevity. I think people are interested in people who have other things going on, who have other interests. So I would, like, you don't need to drop uni, you don't need to drop your art and whatever it is that you love. I think it's all really important. But I would just, like, clue yourself up on it and, like, work on yourself. Build that confidence, because it fucking gets battered down. Do you know what I mean? You've got, like, it really does.
Imagine.
I have, like, five skins. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got, like, thick skin, and I've really, and sometimes it, like, flattens me, and sometimes I go, do you know what? If they don't want me, someone else will. Do you know what I mean? I know myself, and I, like, know my self-worth, but, like, sometimes it, like, destroys you. Because you're like, why do they not want me? And it's based on your look. So, you know, that's a weird one.
It's pretty tough,
you know, but know yourself. I think that's like so important. I didn't know myself when I started modeling, so I think it always felt like so personal, and it isn't personal really. Do you know what I mean? But go for it. Have a fun time. See what's out there. Make the most of it.
Just definitely have backup options, other things you want to do, and just make sure you're mentally prepared, because that's some kind of rejection. That it's the same, I guess, of like trolling on like Instagram. When I come out of Love Island, I thought, oh, this will be a fun free summer in like a hot country of fit people. Come out and then everyone's like, oh my god, look at her nose, oh my god, she's put on so much weight, oh my god. And you're like, yeah. So I can imagine, not to the scale, but yeah, a little bit.
No, I bet yours is way more. Do you know what I mean? That's like a, I couldn't even imagine what that must be like.
With mine, I don't see, it's just like faceless people. They're just like trolls.
Yeah,
whereas
that's true.
Like you said, you're going for like a job or whatever. But I think it builds you as a person to go through that. And like you said, now you know yourself so much more than when you first started in the modeling industry.
Yeah, there is stuff I know. And you know what? I think for anyone starting now, the industry is so different. It's exciting what's happening, do you know what I mean? And the conversations that are being had, and it is so much more inclusive. And our conversations around beauty and size and race are a lot more different. And I think how exciting to be part of that. But you've got to stand your ground. I'm standing my ground. There's still so much work to be done. But I think like, way nicer to be part of it now. It was like a different fucking ball game back in the day. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it seemed absolutely savage.
I mean, it's savage. I went through like, so I collected British Vogues for years. And when I moved house from my parents into my house, I was clearing out all my shit and I was going through all the magazines and I was like, why did I collect these? No wonder I felt so fucking shit about myself. I didn't see one person in the magazine who looked like me.
Yeah,
I was like,
so backwards.
It was so different back then. I was like, this is like traumatic. That I feel sorry for the girl that collected those magazines, who was like so wanting to be someone else. And now I look through the magazines and I see, oh, just the best girls in the world who stand for something, who talk about something, who have their own opinions, their own aesthetic, their own look. It's just so cool, I think. I'm like...
Yeah, it's taken a long old time, yeah, but we're finally like moving in the right direction.
100%.
But yeah, I just wanted to thank you so much, not for only just coming on to my podcast, but for everything you've done. Like, I don't think you fully like understand how powerful it was just meeting you and like knowing about the Girls Talk platform when I was going through such shit, like at home with my family, and I was on such a high from Love Island. And then I had all this like other side of my life that was so chaotic and going on, and you just made it so normal that people do struggle with mental health. Like, it's a normal thing. Like, so many of us, I was in this same book that I'm reading, it says like, 1 out of 5 people have depression, 1 out of 10 have thought about committing suicide. And this book was written, I don't know when, but like years ago. So I can imagine it's only increased. So I just wanted to say a massive thank you for putting all your energy and effort into Girls Talk, because it really has helped me. Oh, and I know it's helped so many other girls.
Thank you so much, Megan. But seriously, like, there are many reasons. It's not just because of like my fascination with Love Island at that time, but I really, really like, I'm fascinated in people who represent like all different kind of aspects of life and talk from all different places in life and backgrounds and are individual in their kind of outlook on things. Like, how amazing is it that someone like you has used their platform to do such great things? And I want to tap into that. I want my girls to hear that. I want them to see that like Megan's got like shitloads of things to talk about and is a real authentic person, that you don't just need to be like one type of person to be on like reality TV. Do you know what I mean? And I think,
yeah,
you know, you're an icon. You like represent us in such a sick way. And I like have always been proud for you to be like a part of Girls Talk from like way back at the beginning when it was first, like, you know, booming. So, like, thank you for all of that. And thank you for your, like, continuous work in, like, kind of breaking down all these archaic ideas of, like, sex work and pleasure and mental health. It's so needed. It's needed for, you know, for me, age 29, who still needs, like, kind of some help in all those kind of different ways.
Definitely. And it's so good for girls growing up because there was absolutely nothing out there like that when I was growing up, other than like Miss Magazine and doing a survey to see what kind of like boyfriend you'll end up with. It's like, really? We need to focus on ourselves.
Exactly. Like, are you going to be single for the rest of your life or will you have a boyfriend? Literally. Those are like the two options. Yeah.
Like, that's the worst thing that could happen at that age. It's so bad.
What kind of person are you with a boyfriend or without a boyfriend? And literally, there was no other thing. There was no concentration on you as a person at all, was there?
Literally nothing. Yeah. Like, learn this dance routine and will you end up, like, alone? Oh, dear. Well, it's been so nice speaking to you. Oh, thank you so much.
It's been so nice speaking to you, babe. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I've really appreciated you coming on. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. And be sure to subscribe so you get next week's episode as soon as it lands. And remember, for the best experience, make sure you listen on the Entel app.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.